This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
The aftermath of every social revolution brings about change. Cultural norms and landmarks shift as our minds and hearts expand beyond the familiar. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose in the land of the living. This is our time to renew, revive, and restore the hope lost to the busyness of life. This is our time to dig again and rebuild from the storms of our past on a solid footing that holds. Welcome to The Foundation.
The Foundation.
The Foundation with Heart Grants is brought to you by Alive, Bon for Bones, Burger King, Commonwealth Bank, Doctors Hospital, Epic Battery, Grand Bahama News, Marcos Pizza, Prince Masters, and Ross Electric Motors.
The Foundation.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. 96.9 FM radio. Howard Grant in your company, The Foundation. It is a beautiful Wednesday afternoon, live and in full effect. Grateful to be in your company today, guys. I am truly grateful. Right off the bat, we got to be able to talk about these things. If you're on the road right now, midday, and trying to be able to get through traffic, you're quick and you said you could be quick for that thing that you wanted for lunch. 30 minutes in and out trying to get something to be able to eat and make your moves. If you are stuck in traffic, let me explain to you why. Bahamas Power and Light, BPL, advises the public of a temporary road closure to facilitate the underground work for system upgrades in the eastern New Providence area. The affected area will be from the intersections of Eastern Road and Shirley Street to New Gate Road. Closures will occur on Friday, June 21st. Okay, well, so you ain't start the day. You start on Friday. Closures will occur on Friday, June 21st, 2024, from 4 p.m. to 12 a.m., right, to 12 midnight. And then on Saturday from June 22nd, which is June 22nd, from 8 a.m. to 12 a.m. So that's all morning, Saturday morning, right? Sunday morning, also June 23rd. 8 a.m. to 12 midnight again, okay? So you want to be able to do these things and check this out. Make sure you are abreast of what's happening. Motorists are advised to use an alternative route during these times, and BPL apologizes for any inconvenience caused. For more information, check out the updates and information at www.bplco.com. That's bplco.com, or follow us on our Facebook page at MyBPL242, MyBPL242. So, guys, check that out. That's going to be on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and you want to be able to make sure that you do that. So if you're getting late off or late on Friday, my God, find an alternative route now. You'll be in traffic till 8 o'clock. Let's just be able to get these things done. Guys, it's a beautiful day. Grateful to be in your company as we continue to be able to chop these things down. Got to shout out my good, decent people over at Da Vinci's Printing and Innovators. They got everything available for you. Lay it out. Lay it out. Guys, go down there and check that thing out, man. I said I was going there yesterday. Didn't have a chance. I'm going there. I'm right after the show. I gave my kids the Bibles. I purchased Bibles, right? For the large print text, I think it's important that you can be able to do that. The kids are at the age now, they're no longer reading the kids' Bibles and all these other stuff like that. They've transitioned, they're coming into their own, they're finding their strength, and so they need to be able to ground and root themselves in that sort of word. This is me, this is my family, don't fight me. And so I purchased the Bibles. Everybody got a Bible yesterday. You get a Bible. Everybody, I felt like Oprah. I was giving out Bibles yesterday, but I wanted to kind of, you know, accompany it with sort of the notebook and the little parcel that you put it in, the little zip thing, so you can be able to have everything all together. And I remember that Da Vinci has a beautiful section where if you're looking for cups, if you're looking for those kind of trinkets, if you're looking for those things like that, you can be able to go there and get that. So I wanted to go down there and kind of pick that up. So if you're in the market for that, guys, you can go down to Da Vinci and take care of that. Or if you're kind of looking for someone to be able to put some graphics on paper, to print some stuff, to do some things like that, you also know that DaVinci can help you with that. Just check them out. DaVinciPrinting242.com, DaVinciPrinting242.com. They got everything laid out for you. Want to be able to check them out. Also, you can be able to go down there and, let me just tell you where they're located. They're located on the Village Road Shopping Plaza, right there on Village Road, Wolf Road, Bernard Road, Soldier Road, right there on the intersection, northern side. They can be able to take good care of you. Check out my good friends over at AFS Insurance Agents and Brokers. They got everything laid out for you. Etheric has not called me back and said that he has filled that position of administration. So if you're looking for administration, if you're looking for a little job, if you're looking for summer jobs, so forth and so on, please, por favor, please, 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 check him out, 3411 AFS, or if you're in the market for in-house financing as it relates to your bulk insurance that you need for all your SDs, your taxis, your liveries, they can take very, very, very good care of you. Check them out. They're open 9 to 5, also 9 to 2 on Saturdays, number 407 Blue Hill Road South, just across the street from Golden Gate Shopping Plaza. Guys, it's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful day. One last thing. I got to make a plea to you. My daughter, now she don't want me to say this, but I got to say this. My daughter needs a summer job. Can I say that? She's 16 years old. She is sharp as a tack. Absolutely gorgeous. She could work in your administration standpoint. What she want to do, I don't want her to do. A lot of the things that she does, I don't know why she wants to be so labor intense, right? She wants it to be very laborious. I don't know why. She wants to be a caddy, right? Last summer she got certified. She is a lifeguard. She was a lifeguard in Grand Bahama. Hey, if you can help your boy out, please do that. 8270111, 8270111. That's a shameless plug for my baby girl. She is non-occupied, and I'm looking for a good school, summer school. I normally send the kids to Xavier's, but I think my wife want to take an early vacation, so I don't know exactly what we're going to do. Hit me up. Let me know exactly what's what, guys. Make sure you pick up the Guardian newspaper. All the information's in there. Former Prime Minister health scare. Doctors remove blood clot from the base of Ingram's brain. My God. Doctors remove a blood clot from the base of Ingram's brain. You know, as I saw, because I just opened my telephone after I picked up everyone and did everything yesterday. I was about to get my truck washed, but it started to rain, so I said, let me go home. Went home, opened up my telephone, and I saw like a press conference, and I listened to the person. I don't know if it was Berthony, I don't know who it was, because it was our news. And I was listening to it, and all I heard is former Prime Minister Ingram, and I couldn't breathe. I said, what? So I'm listening. And so I'm happy to find out that he's good. I'm happy to find out. I couldn't even say nothing. I was in total shock and awe. I tried to call my wife. She was in the kitchen. I said, baby doll. And I had to listen. So I'm happy to find out that he's good. And the very first thing that ran to my brain is that we are in a significant year, a year of transition as we move into 2025, as we move into a space where we can recognize very clearly that the new era, the new age, the new dispensation of leadership is taking its place in this country. But even then, we acknowledge, genuflect, and continue to be able to shower down the confetti that's necessary for the men and women that served in our past. So we say a very soft prayer for former Prime Minister Ingram, who is still active as it relates to how things are organized from the back, and ensuring that things are moving forward for the country going forward, and his advisory, relentlessly in his advisory capacity, always being able to give good counsel to the country for moving in a particular direction. So we just pray for him and his family and all those particular persons. Based upon what we're seeing, based upon what we heard, we're happy to know that he is resting well, that he's doing well, and he's recuperating and all those particular things. So I'm happy for that. Davis indicates that the Grand Lucayan let's read it properly. Davis, Grand Lucayan will likely be sold very soon. This is peculiar. You can't take on this sort of a posture as your cape continues to be able to flap into the winds that was created by your cabinet ministers, almost like a Beyonce concert. And you flap into the wings and you say in this kind of a posture with your chest poked out and speak to the people of Grand Bahama that don't worry. Those men and women that came prior to us, the administration before us, they were lackluster in their, I surmise it, right? They didn't even have the intellectual capacity, my God. And then come back and relentlessly, this is the third time that we've heard this pronouncement. First, we say that we're hopeful. Second, we say that we remain hopeful. Now we say that it's very likely, very soon. When will we get the assurity? We've already identified the relationships necessary to be able to get the finances. You've already identified and acquired the land. You've done all these particulars. You have everything laid out. The government of the Bahamas has already been able to petition and gone forward from a legal standpoint and being able to speak to Grand Bahama Port Authority and indicate that you need us to give us back our 300 and some million. All these things are stretched out. And the people of West Grand Bahama, East Grand Bahama, Central Grand Bahama, and those that have actually been dispersed as a result of not having an economic foot in the island, they continue to wait, not for the hopes, the ideas, the platitudes. They are hoping for an economic injection that is sustainable enough for them to shift their course and get back not only home, but to work. Let's talk like this. Ladies and gentlemen, my very good friends in the studio with me, he's had a hiatus, but I'm grateful that he's back with us, none other than Garth Roseborough. Garth, say good afternoon to the people out there who's listening in.
Well, good afternoon, Howard Grant. Good afternoon, Guardian Radio. And you, the great people of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas and those listening around the world. It's a great time here in our country. There's rain that has been falling over the last few days. The crabs are walking and the fish are biting. And, of course, the tourists are still coming in slowly due to constraints in the United States of America in terms of weather, but we look forward to them visiting our shores and once again enjoying the culture that we have here in our country.
My brother, how things have been with you? I know you and I haven't spoken for a while. I wanted to take sort of a hiatus from having a top-heavy conversation about politics. I try my best. You laugh, but I try my absolute best.
Ah, boy.
I try my best because we've been top-heavy for going on almost a month after the pronouncement of the Free National Movement's convention. We had our own pre-convention almost every day, being able to chop that thing down. We finally found a victor, right? Everyone's now in this kind of a rest mode. And I don't know whether or not the Free National Movement is taking a honeymoon period. It doesn't seem like they are, right? We're seeing Michael Alkides in his posture and position in the House of Assembly. He's ready to get locked up. He's ready to do it in terms of moving forward and being able to capture that momentum that we saw the convention night and even that sort of unity that existed the week before when we went to R.M. Bailey Park. Talk to me about it.
Well, it's been a journey. Thank you for your kindness in putting me in the heavy hitters category. I never saw myself as being a heavy hitter, just a truth teller. But first of all, Howard, let me give a quick shout out to my good cousin, Charles Seeley II, former CEO of Doctors Hospital on his recent appointment. Great man, great Bahamian. And we want you all to continue doing great things for our country. Howard Grant, politically speaking.
Was he there? Quentin Lightburn also, who was the head of the Bahamas Development Bank, has just been given an opportunity by the Inter-American, and he's been provided an opportunity from that particular standpoint. So I want to be able to shout him out also. As a young person, the PLP has taken on this kind of a posture and position of not only providing platitudes to say that we are the bridge for the future, but this administration is working to strategically put them in position. So I like that.
Yeah, that young man, he's come a long way. I actually met him when I first ran for Carmichael in 2012. He was one of the members of the branch. And very, very amazing young man. He had the support of James Rule right there on Carmichael Road, and all of the people of Carmichael seemed to just envelop him. It was almost as if he has a coat of many colors, and he continues to continue to astound us and continue to do great things. So once again, Howard, I join you in congratulating him.
One thing but them coat of many colors, though.
Well, we know, but
there's a tracksome.
Well, I ain't getting into that.
Detractive. No, I mean, I'm just in the sense of, when we start to talk from a poetic standpoint, as we give this sort of an idea of what we're seeing here, there's always this sort of watch yourself. Watch yourself.
Yeah.
As a young person in our society,
watch yourself. Oh, yeah.
And you have to kind of give caution. That's why I have to be able to kind of give kudos to the PLP for affording him an opportunity and creating that barrier around him.
It's amazing.
As he moved forward.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Because many couldn't get that same attention.
No.
There have been others there who have never gotten that far. It would have been great if the chairmanship had changed, still in my estimation, to allow more young people to the forefront. But I guess that's soon coming as well. But I see the Progressive Liberal Party is making some leaps and bounds. You mentioned Michael Akilis and the position that he's now taking. You look at the once torn down Keith Bell. Made an amazing speech in the House of Parliament. Did you listen to his contribution? And he has me now wondering about the stock market and the investments that we have made and why were they sold and who were they sold to. This language, this business language, it's something I believe is so absent from the masses of the Bahamian people.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
That we're talking about business, but we wrap it in politics and take no consideration for the actual business.
Yes.
We take no consideration. The business at hand is the business of politics.
Yes.
And the nature there exists is some skullduggery.
Well,
but not looking at the transparency of what exists on the top of the surface.
That is correct. The business mind has been brought down to two colors. Yes,
that's crazy, isn't it?
Gold and red. That's it.
But we can't see nothing
else other than gold and red.
That's crazy.
There's not even green money.
That's a shame.
It's not even green money. Like they say, like the PLPs would say, we don't want no FNM money, and FNM say we don't want no PLP money. That's crazy, you know. But right now, as we look at our country in terms of business language, you mentioned Grand Bahama and the promises of Grand Bahama. How long does Grand Bahama have to wait?
It's been over 24 years now.
24 years.
It's over from the beginning of 2000. There has been pontifications and speeches, even from the former administration, of what should be done in that particular space. The new, the fresh wind came in, took on this kind of a posture and position. Obi Boshkum captured this, and there were promises for all these things. The only time, I told you this, the only time that West Grand Bahama ever moved is when Obi moved.
Mm.
And when Obi was gone, nothing happened. Then wow. Obi came back, things happened. Now Obi is gone.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any expectation that things will happen? I don't know. I doubt it.
You doubt it?
I doubt it.
You don't have no confidence?
No.
Well, Howard Grant, we got to have some confidence. I mean, this is the future of the country we're talking about.
The confidence only exists for the concentration that the PLP has given to West Grand Bahama when they had time. Everybody was secured in their position. Everybody was secured in their seat. For us to be able to show our strength and moving forward, and the fact that we still have the momentum of the people on our side, let's put all our political capital and resources behind ensuring that we could be able to capture West Grand Bahama and Bimini in this by-election. They did that. The prime minister promised them everything. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. We promise. We're going to do these particular things. Trust me, I got you back. And I told you, and I remain steadfast in my position. I told you, whoever wins, I still stick into this.
I haven't been wrong yet.
I'm going to stick to this until the bitter end. Mm-hmm. I'm going to stick to this. Nah, y'all could laugh at me if it doesn't happen the way that I assume, but I'm watching this. Whoever win the by-election will lose the general election. Not because of anything other than the relentless promises that were made to West Grand Bahamians. Ain't got nothing to do with you as an individual. Ain't got nothing to do with your capability, whether or not your namesake lived there, whether or not your navel string is buried there. That ain't got nothing to do with it. What it has to do with was the fact that, one thing, the promises Obi Wilchcombe specifically has made to the people of West Grand Bahama and Bimini, as they wait with bated breath, as they held their breath and hoped that this is the time for them, as they did everything, Obi transitioned. He passed on from one life to another. He's gone.
So
we cried and we mourned for him, and now Kingsley is in this mix, my cousin.
So let me clarify what you're saying. You're saying in the general election, we're talking about West Grand Bahama and Bimini solely, not the entire nation of the Bahamas.
In a by-election.
The by-election.
The
PLP won.
The by-election, the PLP won because the concentration of both political capital and economic and so forth and so on, the concentration of their effort, their strength as an organization it descended upon West Grand Bahama and Bimini.
So are you forecasting the 2026 election for the entire nation or just for West Grand Bahama and Bimini?
No, no, no. I'm forecasting only for West End and Bimini. So, I am saying
so there's going to be a change from gold to red. That's what you're saying.
It may be a change from gold to red.
Not maybe.
Now, this is not only for just because it's Free National Movement. I'm simply saying to you, it's going to be a change of candidate. Now, just be
Of candidate.
Let's be straight.
Okay.
Let's just be straight.
That's what I'm trying to make it very clear.
I don't want it to be as more political as we being able to concentrate our efforts and identify the fact that based upon the promises that were made to West Grand Bahama and Bimini, no novice politician could fulfill even a tenth of that. They can't. They don't have the relationships.
So you're saying that the people of West Grand Bahama and Bimini, they could be petty real bad and they're going to
I don't
to
know
change.
If that's petty.
It's not petty. I'm just trying to find out what you're saying.
I'm not, I don't know
so
if that's
So you're not
petty.
Calling it petty. You're saying they're sensitive or you're saying that they just
they're
don't
tired.
Tolerate, they don't tolerate
it's
lies.
It's become intolerable. It's become exhausting to hear one politician after another come in and make promises about what's happening.
But the whole nation has that problem.
But the concentration for me, no, I don't think the whole nation has that problem.
You don't?
No.
There are certain constituencies that I know about that they just cannot wait for elections to change candidates.
Let's take Exuma.
But Exuma is different.
No. How you can say it's different if you just say the whole nation?
No, I said I'm talking about the whole nation. I said there are certain constituencies within the nation who I can say that.
And let's take Exuma.
Yeah, I wouldn't say a change is going to happen in Exuma.
Now let me say this.
I wouldn't say that.
Chester Cooper is not a 10-year-old politician.
Understood.
Okay, from a political standpoint, he's still in his youth.
Yes.
Okay. His posture and position has caused him to be able to elevate significantly to the proximity of leadership. He's now a part of the trifecta of leadership in the PLP.
Once again.
Exuma blossoming as a result of that.
Coat of many colors again.
Exuma is blossoming as a become. Now, he could have done what many politicians have done in yesteryear and ensure that he, this kind of self-aggrandizement, this kind of an idea of being able to pull the flowers close to my chest and just continue to be able to inhale, exhale as people shower you with the accolades and say, oh my God, Chester, you're doing well, eh? My God, he didn't do that.
What did he do?
He got to work. He got to work and to ensure that his next time is safe.
But once again, he was put in a position where he could work. There are some people, like the Speaker of the House, who will have to rely on other politicians to assist her in really doing some work, like in Bamboo Town.
She what other politicians have
she,
to...
She doesn't have a... She
who
doesn't
other
have
politicians
budget.
She have to
she,
rely on?
She needs friends.
She has the same budget that everybody else has.
Yes, she has the same budget, but then these people have ministries and so forth that they could... Look, place people on jobs and give contracts to, et cetera. I'm telling you.
Yeah, but that's not on her own merit. Let's just be very clear with that. No one could go in with a self-assured position unless they be able to get some sort of document to indicate that they're going in the cabinet.
I agree.
The prime minister makes a choice based upon the advisements and the executives that surround him to identify what is good for the New Day administration, who will be the voices, the minds that we need around the table to move forward. If you ain't chosen, you can't get mad.
No, you can't get mad.
You can't. But why would you be angry?
But you're put in a little challenging position. That's all I'm saying.
No, you can't. Everybody ain't gonna be. Listen to me. Let's just shoot straight.
The challenge.
Let's shoot straight.
Bahamian people.
Everybody is not cabinet material.
No, I'm agreeing.
You ever try to make a countertop from that 5'8" roof and plywood?
Okay, but let me say this to you then.
Splinter straight through.
Not everybody's.
My God, you're gonna sand that.
Not
down.
Everybody's MP material. They just happen to be the right color.
Okay, now talk to me. Now we're getting somewhere.
Okay, so what you trying to tell me?
Nonetheless, you get in.
Yeah, you got it.
But that ain't means you can get into the holies of holy.
Well, you and water.
You may not
head.
Be a Levite.
All right. I'm with you.
You may not be able to get into the holies of holy.
I hear you, boss.
And that's all I'm saying to you.
I agree. So I won't fight you.
The excuses that we're making from members of parliament who doesn't necessarily have the budget of cabinet ministers is a non-starter. Because Jamal Strawn... Is not
Nassau Village.
Is not a cabinet minister.
No, but he's
but
doing
my
well.
God, when you go over there,
he's doing well.
People on the outside say, you got to give this boy another chance. My God, he look good.
Yeah, you have that building on the corner there, and
he working.
Yeah, he working.
That's my point.
Because I used to be scared to drive through there.
This is my point. The whole road paved again.
Yeah,
it looked nice.
The sportsplex is coming along.
Okay, talk to me.
Okay. Well, you know what my situation is? Since we're talking about business and politics, and you're trying to water some things down, so I don't mind the country growing. I'm all for growth in the country.
I try to water things down.
Huh?
You say I try to water things down?
Yeah, I just water it down.
I just want to be decent.
I'm trying to be decent.
Let's go.
So, okay, let me ask you a question then. Because I got to ask the question, and then the callers could always call and you could throw out your numbers. When we build all these airports and we build these the hospital and we build up Grand Bahama, where does this money come from? Does it come from our treasury? Does it come from our earnings, from tourism, from fisheries, from banking, from agriculture? Where do we derive this money from?
Well, if you would listen to it, first and foremost, $290 million for the building of this new hospital on the 50 acres of property is coming from the Chinese bank.
That's a gift?
The Chinese don't give you a gift. They give you a gift at 2% over 20 years. That's the gift.
Okay. So that comes from China. So the other infrastructures like airports and so forth, is this also borrowed money or is this from
the government of the
revenue?
Bahamas, even from the former administration, has placed themselves in this kind of a position to look for public-private partnerships to ensure that they could be able to see the development of these particular sectors, right? So they've continued to look for the type of partnership that we could give you the property, we could give you the support, we could give you access, cut the red tape, we need the finances, we need the wherewithal, can you do this for us? That's what's happened with the new hospital. That's what's happening with a lot of the things that we see coming to the forefront. That's what's happening with a lot of these airports, and that's what's happening in Grand Bahama. So, the International Bazaar.
So you know I'm trying to get you down in this blue hole, right?
Let's try for Dean's blue hole.
It's
a big fella, so I float on top of it. So let's go.
All right, so let's go. Here we go, Bahamas. If we are borrowing this money from foreign entities, from other entities, even from some of our Bahamian people, like in the situation of BBL, who's going to purchase and manage or whatever the case may be, does the Bahamian people now owe a debt?
If you borrow simultaneously, there is a necessity for paying back. No one's giving you this.
So
what we have been giving the other day is the $30 million and then the $10 million again for the development of the complex.
So who's responsible for the debt?
Redevelopment.
Who's responsible for the debt?
The Bahamian people.
The Bahamian people. So we are excited that we're getting airports. We're excited that we're getting the hospitals. We're excited that we're getting the paved roads. We're excited that we're getting the infrastructure put in place. We're excited that we could possibly get Grand Bahama off the ground. But at the end of the day, this is not from monies that we have earned from this bolstering tourism that we speak about. This tourism that is so wonderful, so great. It has been the fabric of our society. We have to actually go out there and borrow this money and put our people further in debt just to say we're going to have a decent lifestyle. Is that what you're saying to me?
That is exactly what's happening. But what I am saying to you and what I've continued to be able to say on this particular platform is that political leadership has always taken on this position to be able to pontificate and say that there's a need for innovation and creativity. But when they're faced with that, they never use it. When they're faced with a decision to identify whether or not we keep this and make it our very own, develop this project and make the Bahamian people owners of this, they always go to the road. They never take the road less traveled. They always go to the beaten path. Well, you know, the other fellas says borrow money, let's borrow money. Well, the other fellas says borrow money, let's borrow money. And then the closest to innovation that we would have seen over the course of the last administration was with Peter Turnquist, who has taken this sort of this position where he cut everything by 10% in terms of internal expenditure within certain divisions, right? That was the genius of being able to save money, not create money. This wasn't creation of money. This was to save money. This was to be able to say, well, we didn't fight it. It was hard, a hard pill to swallow. It wasn't creative enough. And yet again, this is not creative enough. The PLP has come up with this particular concept, forge relationship with Pike, and being able to forge these things, to pull up the LNG, to do all these things. The innovation, if we were blind to the world, let's just be decent. If we were blind to the world and we did not see what was happening around the world, if there was no recruitment for the Bahamians and people from the Caribbean to come to Dubai, if there was no recruitment and an idea for even our nurses who are qualified and capable to be able to work in Washington State, in Washington, D.C., and other places all over the world, if we were blind to the world, this idea... ingenious. Oh my God, where did it come from? Ingenious, if we were blind. If we did not know what was going on in the world, this concept of LNG is ingenious.
I got you.
But if this 15 years, and we've then been talking about this every day for 15 years and trying to figure out why the government hasn't done this. They talk about pipe running from Florida to here. They talk about, okay, you didn't want the pipe to run. Now we could be able to bring a tanker and let it be able to sit out there and berth.
A floating station.
Mm-hmm. All these concepts existed. You did nothing.
Amazing. You know something that's very simple, but it really is just aching within my body, within my mind. And people may overlook this as much as, you know, the people like to eat conch, you like to eat crawfish. You got this abundance of fish in the ocean and the sea cucumber and everything else. Howard Grant, do you know that we do not have one decent boat ramp in New Providence?
I can believe you.
Not one.
Every time I go get corn salad from the Army Monarchy, my wife said, no, you slip down there. I watch somebody car slip down there. They don't have anything.
Not one decent boat ramp. There's revenue that is collected every year from boat registration and from business licensing fees. And nothing is given back to the fishermen who own boats. So every day we have to figure out which ramp do we want to break our trailers up on. Because the one in Yamacraw, I've watched that just burst two and three tires at a time, and axles are broken, and truck parts are broken, and you try South Beach, there's a big, huge bunch of rock right there. You run your boat into the rocks. Adelaide Ramp has not been built properly. Coral Harbor, well, one ramp has been closed off some private property. The other one on private property is now has no trespassing signs. Nothing on Jaws Beach. If you go to Gambia's too, the slope is amazing. It's like going to Mount Everest. The closest thing to anything kind of decent is probably by the sand trap, and that ain't really no ramp, that's beach. So what are Bahamians to do when we want to fight for this better country? We're putting politicians in place, and they're not listening to the needs of the Bahamian people. Fishing is a huge industry in this country, but $90 million in export for crawfish alone, for lobster alone, from this country. That's export. That's not what we have consumed. And there's no encouragement for this. You want a young man to get off the street, stop smoking dope, stop thiefing, and stop fooling with girls and making babies he can't take care of. But what else can they do?
You got to find something to do.
But we don't see this
kind of a concept of throwing our hands in the air. We need to be able to come up with a solution.
We're borrowing money to do all this infrastructural building, and the young people don't have no means to even survive in this country.
But the infrastructure building is focused on the relationships that are forged when they're out of government. That's happening. That's what's happening. The relationships and the focus on anchor projects and so forth and so on is based upon the commitments that were made, the support that was given prior to them even stepping foot into government. And so the allegiance is the development of these particular concepts to be able to hang their hat on that, to say that the PLP has done this or the FNM has done that. And no consideration is given to the fact that there is a need for internal development right here in your own backyard.
I like that term, internal development.
That's all this is. It's internal development. How can all these men serve at the pleasure of the prime minister, focus on major projects, and your division, whether that's
social services,
agriculture, fishing, so forth and so on, your concern is still to be able to support major projects and not looking at these smaller projects.
So guess what?
We've got to be able to do something like that. Let me see if I can take this commercial break. I've got to take this break, right? Yeah. Guys, quick, the lines are going to be wide open. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere from the Family Violence, 242-300, 5720. Hit me up, 422-4796. Quick commercial break. Going to be right back after this.
The foundation. The foundation.
Looking for great device deals and offers this summer? Look no further. Alive has special discounts on the latest smartphones, Ring devices, and accessories. Plus, as an Alive customer, you can expect exclusive Get Extra offers and rewards, which means even more value for your money. We're talking more data, prizes, and surprises. Upgrade with us and experience the perfect summer with Alive in store or at bealive.com/deal.
Now let me see now. 326 EPIC. Hello? Hello? This Epic? Eckert Battery? This Miss Bueller from round the corner. I hear you're selling tires now on Wolf Road 2.
Praise the Lord. It's about time. I live Fox Hill, and Fire Trail is too far.
That ain't all. They open Monday to Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., on Sunday and holiday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m.
My brother Sam, he's a hacker, and he could go right there and get fixed up.
Call us at 326-EPIC. We ship also to the family island.
Doctors Hospital has reimagined primary care. We have invested to improve our health system, ensuring that accessible, affordable, world-class clinical care is closer to you. We understand that your relationship with a primary care provider shapes the foundation of your overall health. Our new modern primary care facilities are where critical diagnoses and true personalized treatment begins. With locations across New Providence, Grand Bahama, and Exuma, we invite you to experience the Doctors Hospital difference. Book your next appointment at clinics.doctorshosp.com.
Foundation. And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio. Howard Grant in your company. The foundation is sitting here with Goth. Goth, I like these conversations we have.
I know you do.
I do.
But you know, you spoke about internal development, Howard. I'm still sitting here with my mouth agape, just loving that idea that you have called internal development.
These people, because of the allegiance that they have to the prime minister and fear that they will lose their job in the event that they step out of bounds, out of the pleasure of the prime minister, out of this particular position, stand in conviction to do what is right, they are afraid to lose their position, their job, that extra extra $66,000 a year that they have to pay for, because many of them had to close their practices, many of them had to close their business. This is the only income that they have now.
So let's look at an example of that.
So they become weak men.
So we look at
in an elevated position.
So we look at our friend Hubert Alexander Ingram and Bramble McCartney when he was immigration minister to you know, bring the car, send the car. You know, when you stand up to say, you know, I really want to do my job, and they tell you, you know, what you're doing too much, you have to learn to listen to authority. That's where the Bahamas works. But to our own detriment now, Howard Grant, it almost seems to me as if we're building this archipelago for the benefit of foreign interests as opposed to our own civilians.
We have become slaves to money. We have become slaves as men. We have left our convictions and our strength. We've put that aside and committed ourselves to the focus. Our eyes have become green, glowing with this concept and idea wrapped up. You ever watch the cartoons when Pepe Le Pew see the pretty girl and then he start floating and whatever the case may be?
Mm-hmm.
We have become consumed with the pursuit of finances.
To what end? Not
focused to every end, to the end of death. That's our focus. Let me say that. Let me say why I say that. The fact of the matter is this. We've lost our conviction. No one can stand up in these things. There's no way that you came from a practice identified to be able to go to the pinnacle of leadership in our country, right? To the Mount Hermon in our country, to be able to serve, to do all you have to. You've been identified to those things, and you forget what got you there. You forget what gave you this recognition. You forget the convictions that you carry. You forget all of these things simply because you were given this opportunity. Now, all you become is a sounding brass to be able to say what these men tell you to say. You have no more conviction. Well, you want me to lose my job, eh?
Wow. You know, my dad.
Sir, you was making $150,000 a year. You were making $250,000 a year. When we met you, you had two Audi, one for you and one for your wife.
You know, my dad just left Dubai. You know, he's turning 78 next month on the 30th. And he was over there riding camels. And he said, man, he just loved Egypt. He loved Dubai. He said, God, do you know there's nothing that you can actually do that's illegal or immoral in Dubai without the government knowing? He said they got, I mean, CCTV cameras everywhere, always listening. He said that you can't even perform prostitution in Dubai. And there's a consequence for everything that you do that's against the law. I watch my friend Chrislyn Skippings often on Facebook, and she looks tired. Chrissy, you look tired, you know. Every other night they call in.
Can't be tired. People getting filled every day. You got to wake up 3 o'clock in the morning. Oh God!
I look at Chrissy. I say, "Oh Lord, Chrissy, you're tired." But my thing is that, okay, so we're making investments in airports. We're making investments in hoteliers. We're making investments in roads.
But we ain't making investments in people.
Where's the investment in CCTV cameras to capture every activity that is in the hot areas, especially
before
to give
we
President
get to
Skippings
this,
a break?
Before we get to this, okay?
Uh-huh.
Because that there is a four-hour conversation. Before
four.
We get to this, a four-hour conversation.
So when I go on fishing?
Because it's by design. This is organized confusion by design.
Man, it's crazy.
This is by design.
It's crazy.
In the event that you present accountability and transparency to government, almost 35% instantaneously will lose their job. Their jobs become redundant. Instantly. Boom. If you really enact accountability, if you really enact transparency, instantly, 35% of the force or these particular divisions within government sectors, they lose their job.
Mm-hmm.
Because their position is to ensure that they are the bookkeepers, they are the this, they are the that, all these particular things. Guys, the lines are wide open. Please be a part of the conversation. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere for the family of islands, 242-300-5720. Hit me up, 422-4796 on the text. Call on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Hey, Howard, good day.
Hey, what's up, my dear?
Everything's good. Hi, guys. I haven't heard you for a minute. Anyway, you made a comment just now about CCTVs being in the hot spot.
Yes,
but
ma'am.
I wanted to ask, isn't there CCTV in the Parliament already?
In Parliament? No, he means CCTV around the island.
She said Parliament is a hot spot right now.
Oh, you're wilding out.
Have a blessed day.
Praise God. Thank you so much, Neil. But see, Garth, listen. And men are afraid to have this. The reason we have an issue is men don't have no more conviction. They don't have no more strength to stand up. They are afraid the little that they have, they can lose that. In fact, they're more concerned about losing the public prestige as opposed to the finances. They want an elevated position, many of them.
Mm-hmm.
Because if that's the case, I tell the fellas, you can't come to me and have a conversation about $28,000 a year. I have things to do.
No, not for $28,000.
I have things to do.
Yeah, I can't do
$28,000. I just want to be honest with you. I have things to do. I have to do things. The word of God says to me, a wise man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. $28,000 ain't no inheritance.
That ain't no money.
And socially, for people to be able to say, boy, I remember your daddy. That's not an inheritance my child could carry nowhere.
But you know what? Before I give you a raise for that $20,000, you need to do a better job, though.
You need to be a better individual.
Yeah, but some of them deserve less, if you ask me.
Some of them need to be fired.
Yes. Yes.
All right, we can pull punches today. We can tell the truth. We ain't got no name.
All right.
We can be decent. Let me take a next telephone call. Call on the line. Go ahead.
Brother Grant.
Hey.
Give me half of the time that I was waiting to talk to you, sir. I didn't want half of that.
Okay, go ahead.
You can be a good, I don't care what nobody say. Before I say what I have to say, you can be a good politician on a stage or a good preacher on a pulpit.
Mm-hmm.
You can blow.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You can blow.
Okay.
You don't give nobody a chance to say nothing or ask nothing.
Okay.
But let me back to what I said. I heard Mr. God saying something about the speaker. That's how long I was trying to get you.
Mm-hmm.
From the speaker.
Mm-hmm.
Brother God, you have some family lives somewhere in the back of Porky's, eh?
My apartment building in the back there.
Okay. Anybody in the back there can tell you the speaker of the House Assembly is on a second round of the Bamboo Town constituency now campaigning. A second round.
Yeah, we know about the campaigning.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not saying she's not there.
Let me talk, because then I ain't going to be able to finish talk. Look at the work that she's doing in the Bamboo Town constituency. Rambert Reds was the Minister of Works. I never paved a road in 10 years in the Bamboo Town constituency. We had a problem in the back.
Hold on.
Things church at the end of moving the front of the church.
Rambert Wells was agriculture.
Huh?
It was agriculture and health.
Agriculture and health. He was never works.
Rambert Wells was at the Ministry of Works.
He was a junior minister in the FNM.
I don't think something.
In the FNM.
Wasn't that the consultancy capacity? He wasn't.
He was in the FNM.
Yeah.
As the parliamentary secretary.
Okay.
Yes. In the FNM.
Yeah, because he's an architect.
He's an engineer.
Engineer.
Mm-hmm. People just talk about these small little trivial things. But when the member of parliament for Bamboo Town is having her back to school things, I mean, you ain't a party near no politicians to buy them no book and no pencil for their children, nobody. But it's very much appreciated when she do it, because I be on the ground when she's doing it. But I got to say this in closing hour. I know you as a man like conch and fish and crawfish and things. You like big food. Me and God could go to bed on chicken foot sauce and things. You can't go to bed on that.
I don't eat that.
I will.
No, you know I eat chicken foot.
Jesus.
I will bet you a seafood platter. We have another Speaker of the House Assembly. Two terms from over 25, almost 30 years.
That's correct.
Hold on.
She would be the
That's
first.
That's correct.
Hold on.
Speaker of the House, don't repeat. I didn't
Alvin Smith. Well, he's once or twice.
Alvin's once. Garden Hills.
Okay, hold on.
Listen to me, sir. I said in 25
he's right.
years.
I'm telling you.
I study my politics.
I'm telling you, he's
right. Over 25 going on to 30 years.
That's one thing that I know that.
Speaker.
Mm-hmm. So you think you can return the Speaker of the House?
Two terms, it was a Clifford Dollar.
Okay.
90%.
So you think she'll return as Speaker of the House?
I said I want to bet you a seafood platter. You saw Howard Grant.
I would take the bet. I would take the bet, Howard. I'll tell you why I'll take the bet. I'll tell you why I'll take the bet, though. As much as I respect what you're saying, and I know she is on the ground, I'm not going to deny that. I've seen my boy on the ground campaigning as well, right? Her other half, right?
Yeah.
You know I'm on top of the hill.
Yeah.
The people of Bamboo Town, my friend, are so duplicitous. Number one, due to the legacy of Tennyson Wells as a Free National Movement Member of Parliament, who no one has been able to excel beyond his legacy. The people of Bamboo Town has been initially PLP, and then they went hardcore into being Free National Movement with Tennyson Wells. Hardcore.
Yes,
then he became independent. When he ran independent.
No, Tennyson Wells was never independent.
His last term. He didn't say he was a PLP, and he wasn't in the FNM, so he had to be independent. That's what I'm saying to you. I lived in Bamboo Town at the time.
He didn't run a candidate.
But he won.
Supported him.
Yes, that's
if
what
the PLP was in that race.
Don't fight him. Let him finish the talk.
So you're saying he's a PLP then?
But let me hear the talk, what you're saying for the bet. Go ahead.
Because what I'm trying to say to you is that in politics, one of the greatest mistakes I've been making in politics is always believing that we have done enough. Always do believe that. I want you to understand something when I say this to you.
Yeah.
Jesus also did enough. That's all I'm going to say to you, and I close with that.
Jesus, I can tell you this in closing.
See, when people, see, I want
this
to...
This is like a Baptist convention. Everybody closed four times.
Okay, go ahead.
Let me say this in closing.
I'll let you close.
The leader of the PLP, the leader of the FNM, will decide who wins the next election. The leader.
Okay.
Not a candidate.
You're right to your opinion, and I digress.
I appreciate what you're saying, my brother. Thank you so much. I got to take this commercial break, ladies and gentlemen, and get back. But even as we transition, let me close.
Yeah, you close.
The speaker, she relies on the favor of the constituents.
That's what I'm saying.
Who are only making the determination who they're going to vote for based upon the environment that's charged by the party in place.
That's all I'm saying.
So the PLP is doing well, and they wish to retain the PLP as the electorate, as a country, then the speaker will be returned.
That's all I'm saying.
Other than that, she, like many of the other members, if they continue this rhythm, will be ousted.
And what is the percentile, what's the chance percentile-wise, you'd say, of returning?
For her?
Mm-hmm.
Her individually, I mean the PLP?
PLP. We'll be back after the break.
You gotta think about that.
Yeah, we'll be back.
No,
after
I can't.
The break.
I can't just throw out a number. I gotta think about that. When we get back, I can talk to you about those particular percentages. Quick break, guys. Gonna be right back after this.
The foundation. The foundation.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
It's Whopper Wednesday every Wednesday at Burger King Nassau. Make your Wednesday sizzle and sink your teeth into a flame-grilled beef patty topped with tomatoes, fresh-cut lettuce, mayo, pickles, ketchup, and sliced onions, all on a toasted sesame seed bun with fries for only $5.95, including VAT. This Whopper Wednesday, grab a friend and head down to your favorite BK Nassau location for a flame-grilled Whopper made your way with crisp fries for only $5.95. Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News sales representative Kavondre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
The foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio.
I got my calculator out.
96.9 FM radio, Howard Grant, your company, guys. A beautiful day, grateful to be in your company, chopping the thing down the lines and wide open. Please be a part of it. Every time this man come around here, we talk about politics. He needs to stop. We try to do our best to kind of get these things done. I'm going to give him the percentage. Let me give you the numbers again. 3236232. 325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere from the family of islands, 242-300-5720, or hit me up, 422-4796, 40%. I get 35 to 40%. That's it. That's the number.
35 to 40% what? What does that mean?
Possible victory for the PLP. They're not at 50% mark. This is what I get. Now, if you want to find out, we got to do a podcast for that. We're not going to talk about that today. I'm not going to give you the specifics, but you and I just talk about the specifics.
And what is the percentage for the FNM?
If it's 35 for the PLP, that means it has to be 65 for the FNM.
Okay.
If it's 40% for the PLP in terms of victory, that means it's 60% victory for the FNM.
We're talking just about the voting public. We're not talking about those who are registered and do not vote. We're talking about everyone that votes. We're looking at
We're talking about victory.
Okay, victory.
We're talking about victory. Okay. At this juncture right now.
You chopped it up.
You and I sat down, we talk about each one of the constituencies, what we see, right? Very quick synopsis, based upon what we're hearing, based upon what we feel.
No one paid us to do this.
No one asked us to. Based upon the strength that we know in each of these particular constituencies, we can identify for sure anchor seats that will always remain PLP. We identify that right off the top. That's the first thing you take out. Mm-hmm. Okay, these are PLP seats. Bop, 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 bop. Okay, these are FNM seats. Bop, 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 bop. No matter how the wind shift, these seats, for the most part, remain consisted and committed to their candidate. Okay?
And I figure more FNMs are going to vote in this election than in the previous.
More FNMs will vote.
They will vote.
More people will vote.
Mm-hmm.
And that, too, is a second factor. Remember we said that? If there are more people coming out to vote, it always bodes well for the Free National Movement.
Mm-hmm. So what can the government now do to maintain their victory or their leadership or their governance? What can they do?
This is going to be hard to hear.
Okay.
This is going to be hard to hear.
If you were the Prime Minister now, what would you do to retain?
I'm doing it. The Prime Minister doing what he thinks is right to move towards victory. But you could never rely on your own assessment.
That's what I was trying to tell Bamboo Down. That's what I was trying to tell my friend from Bamboo Down.
You can't relax.
I'm not against the Speaker of the House, but I'm just saying you just can't go against and say. You just can't.
You know, there's a saying that, you know, fisherman ain't never call his fish stink. Mm-hmm. Ugly man ain't never call himself ugly. Fat man ain't never really say I fat. Things like that. This is just natural. When you are assessing yourself, you tend to kind of curb in the direction of being able to justify why this is happening and ignore some things that are just, you know, stark in your face.
Mm-hmm.
So the prime minister, in his particular position, he's doing the right thing. Okay? He, in his mind, is doing the right thing. And those persons enamored around him that support him, that are finding opportunities, that got jobs, so forth and so on, that are in elevated positions in the country, will not say to him, listen, maybe we should move in a different direction. Okay, so they move and they are conscious that we serve at the pleasure of the prime minister. And if this is what the prime minister wants, that's what the chief wants, that's what it is. The name is no longer prime minister. They don't even call him Brave no more, you know.
That's chief.
Michael Pintard has not been called Michael Pintard by Free National Movement members for years now. They call him Chief.
That's the Chief.
That's just what it is.
Mm-hmm.
They call him Chief.
Everybody else is Indian.
They call him Leader. They call him Chief. This is what happens in the nature of our politics. You understand? And so when you identify these things and you deduce that, the only way that the PLP could be able to become victorious is that the Prime Minister has to have a hiatus. He has to go out on a fact-finding mission himself. He has to be able to go off in the communities himself, not with the fanfare, not with the pomp and pageantry, not with the siren and so forth and so on. He has to go to the most humblest part of our communities and understand the deprivation that exists in this particular place and ask, how can we fix this?
Yeah, but what's amazing with what you're saying, though, is there are certain members of parliament who do not have to concern themselves with calling him chief. I'm almost sure of that. Certain people on the inner circle, you may mention that Exuma is able to do well. Angleton is able to do their thing. Fox Hill is able to do their thing. There are certain people, I think, that has a higher regard with leadership, whereas...
He's still the chief.
He's the chief, but they become a part of a council. Because the chief, I'm just being blunt with you now, the chief could only remain, buoyant. As a person who's staging for legacy, if he has the consultation of that inner circle, there has to be some type of mutual respect.
Watch me.
Coming from these individuals.
The reason why he is chief, identified as chief, and pronounced by all men as chief, is because for the retention of Fred Mitchell in the capacity as chairman of the Progressive Liberal Party, that took the chief being able to identify the support for Fred Mitchell strategically. The retention of these strategic positions and no one being able to push back against the deputy leader, Chester Cooper, and that Chester don't have the strength and the wherewithal to do that unto himself in an organization that's older than all us.
I think he found that out.
The chief had to be able to do that. And guess what? The one that came before the chief had to also step into this position. That's just what happens.
But isn't that crazy?
That's what happens.
Because there's so many right now who also want to be the chief, but they are too fearful to come together and say, you know what, let's plot and let's become.
You can't do that. Because
you cannot trust anybody when you're in politics.
You cannot believe that you have the type of influence to pull seven men in a room, talk about the chief, and that information don't reach the chief before you hit the threshold.
Okay, so guess what? Guess what I can say to you? And I'm going to let your callers call in, right? There are certain people who joined the Free National Movement recently. They made it public. They
call names. That's
I can let people call in and call their names. But they joined. But they were leaders of third parties.
You mean Cassius? Let's go.
And?
Arinthia.
Okay, good. Now, in joining the FNM, I'm almost certain that in their mind, they kind of know that the potential of the Free National Movement coming back to governance now is extremely high. 60%, you said?
60%.
Okay, good. So if I place myself in the FNM now, and I'm able to become a candidate, I'm able to get a nomination, there's a high potential that I could possibly win my seat. Yes? High potential.
Depending on what seat you go to.
Okay. If I pick the right seat and if I get in, do you see those two individuals wanting to remain Indians for their political career, or do they one day want to become the chief?
Any leader could tell you this.
Based on the history of knowing them.
Any leader could tell you one thing. Any leader could tell you this. I don't care how long Paul was in pursuit of being able to kill Christians. Mm-hmm. On the road to Damascus, when you become blind,
mm-hmm.
in that pursuit of this particular thing, your mission, and you become blind and unable to be able to pursue that thing, and you sit down, you got to sit down for 3 days. And only when you have a true encounter, my God, I get preachy here.
You see how his face, how it's serious as a heart attack.
And only when you have an encounter and the angel come and then the scales fall from your eye. Now you transform and you're thinking. Then you become teachable, trainable, and coachable. That's the only way that Jesus Christ could use you.
Is that
and that's the only way that you could be used by leadership. You have to be first broken. Nobody could use you if you fix. People got to break you before they could put you in a strategic position to get what they got to get out of you. That is a principle of life.
Cassius will tell you himself, you can't break
him. Then Cassius ain't going nowhere. That's just simple. That's just simple. Arinthia ain't going nowhere. Not in the organization that requires you to be able to be a team player. That if you won't get in the cabinet, that if you won't get around this round table, you have to know where you fit in. You have to know, you have to get in where you fit in. And you can't make no demands upon nothing.
Because there's only one chief.
Well.
Clearly.
Well.
An eventual quest.
Okay. Let me take a call. Caller, go ahead.
Pastor Grant, how are you?
I'm good, man. What's up, man?
And to God rules for us unto the nation.
My brother.
Pastor Grant, your show is the only show that I call anymore because, like I told you, I believe you have the most balanced show there is.
Thank you, my brother.
And I will continue to look forward to your show because it is a good show indeed.
Thank you, my brother.
Now, I say that to come to the point that we in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas are a bunch of clowns.
Mm-hmm.
And we are a bunch of clowns because how is it that we allow an administration who was just in a couple years ago, who raped an entire nation and pillaged an entire nation, okay, come forward now under another administration and try to highlight all of these things that they feel like this present administration is doing, but we do not hold their feet to the fire as opposition leaders to answer to the things they have just recently done to the Commonwealth, to the citizens of the Commonwealth.
I agree with you.
I listened to a show this morning. And, Mr. Grant, I got sick to my stomach. I got spiritually weak listening to that show because when I listen to the present leader of the opposition, and when you consider all of the things that the administration that he just came out of have done to this nation, for him to come now, okay, to highlight all of these things that is wrong and all of these things that is going wrong under the present administration and not being put in the position to answer to the Bahamian people for what you have just done a few years ago, we give you a pass for you to highlight everything that the present administration you think is doing wrong, but we give you a complete pass for all of the foolishness you just did a few years ago. Why can't we hold both feet to the fire? See, I am a supporter of the Progressive Liberal Party, but I don't support everything they do.
Mm-hmm.
Some things they do, I am totally against. Okay, because for me, it is Bahamian first. The Bahamas first over any political organization. Now, if you are doing something that is derailing the Bahamian people, I'm not with you on that, okay? If you are doing things that is advancing and building and edifying the Bahamian people, I support you 1,000%.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to find, as Bahamians, we need to find a way to hold the leader of the opposition, his opposition, along with the government, we need to hold their feet to the fire together. Then we will become serious citizens in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. You cannot give one a pass who just did the same thing what the present administration is doing. You give them a pass to hold the present administration, and then when the present administration becomes opposition again, they get the pass while the opposition now, who becomes government, get to do all the foolishness again.
So what do you think, answer this question, what do you think about the new energy era that the PLP is proposing for the people of the Bahamas and this great expectation to see a reduced light bill by the end of July? How do you feel about that?
I feel that it's a good thing to do, but I feel that the people should...
So why haven't you hold your prime minister?
I feel that you should give the people the opportunity to buy the shares so that when I pay my light bill, okay, I get something back from paying my light bill.
Let me ask you this question then. Hold on, before you go forward. So why have you held your prime minister's feet to the fire when this concept was presented to him when he was the minister of
Works?
Listen,
Hold on. Don't stutter. Let's go straight to that. Because it's the same thing you say.
The fact of the matter is, when we are in leadership council,
the grace that you are giving the prime minister now should be afforded to the leader. Now the leader, no longer a minister, no longer a member of parliament. Now the leader of the Free National Movement. It's the same grace. You can't deviate.
The Free National Movement.
The same grace that you extended to the prime minister when he was in the position as deputy leader of the party and also minister of works, and this information came to him, and Leslie Miller came on my show and everybody else's show, and John Boswick started to talk about LNG and the relationships necessary and trying to be able to fix this, and no one budged. No one budged. Is the same grace that you should afford Michael Pintard in his particular capacity, who's now giving a vision for the Free National Movement. That's balance. That's balance. It's just the same grace.
I do agree. I agree with what you're saying 100%.
Okay.
I agree with what you're saying 100%. That's why I'm saying, okay, we need to hold both feet to the fire at the same time.
I agree with you.
The same time. Okay, you don't give one a Bly who just finished annihilating the whole country, and then you hold the other feet to the fire.
You beating him with the competent authority switch.
Annihilate.
No. I am not. See, my thing is, you sat there and you did not speak up as a man. Okay, because even though the competent authority was the competent authority, you are a man in his cabinet who put your pants on the same way he put his on.
So I like what you said.
What make you take your pants off and put on a dress because there's a competent authority?
But come is on, it really though? I appreciate what you say, my brother. I'm not going to fight you. I appreciate your contribution. But is that really what's happening here? I don't see it happening like that.
It's basically two philosophies that he's speaking about. He's talking about standing though the heavens fall. You know, you stand no matter what. You stand on principle only. And a man is a man. You know, you just let them know that, listen, if you want to fire me, but this is what I believe. That's what you call real character, eh? The other side of it is that, like, people say, you sit small till your time come, eh? Till they call you, eh?
But even when your time comes.
So Michael sat small, and now it's his time to stand up. That's a different philosophy.
I will say this, because I know
two different schools of thought.
I know Michael long enough to know these things. And I've spoke with him long enough to know his train of thought, his commitment, his passion, his ideas, and the insight that he has in these things. There was, and maybe you don't know this, maybe you might know this, but a lot of people don't know this. There's a hell of a lot of rowing happened in the last cabinet. A lot.
Of course.
Cussing, almost fighting.
Of course.
They're not going to tell you this.
No.
But I know this information.
It's internal.
Okay. Mm-hmm. The hell of a lot of rowing, cussing, and fighting.
But at the end of the day.
At the end of the day, they came out responsible for being able to speak with one language.
That's it. That's
collective responsibility.
That's the best
with one language.
That's it.
In my view and estimation, Michael hasn't lost his convictions.
He hasn't.
In my view and estimation, this idea of innovation and growth, development, inclusion, so forth and so on, the incorporation of technology, existed in his bosom. In my idea and estimation, if we are truly to assess the former administration and being able to look at the FNM, we'd realize that the cabinet ministers were stripped of their political strength in terms of being able to participate when all power was invested into the competent authority.
That's normal.
That's what happened. No. During the time, I'm not talking about 2017, 2018, 2019. I'm talking about end of 2019, the beginning of 2020, right there in the first quarter when we kicked off COVID-19, and there was a war, a declaration of war on COVID-19, and they enacted this concept and idea of where the competent authority, all power was invested into one man. And that man dispersed the power according to how he saw fit. So Dr. Dal Regis and those particular persons had an opportunity to be able to speak. But at the end of the day, he still made the decision. Mm-hmm. One man.
Yeah, that is
you cool. Can't beat the whole of the cabinet with one man switch. The FNM showed you that in the last convention. Mm-hmm. They beat him for you.
Mm-hmm.
3-1. They beat him for you, the people of the country. 3-1. And you still come out here and you're cussing them? I don't understand this.
Dr. Sands felt the brunt of that for the most part. Well, you know, Howard Grant, I'm listening to the caller. I'm listening to you. What I'm hearing from you now saying to me is that there is a high possibility that the Bahamian voting public will want to give Michael Pintard an opportunity
Michael Pintard
to
knows
show
that.
Who he is.
He knows that, but sometimes when we know a woman cutting up with us and smiling, we tend to just, we don't play it cool. Somebody got to be there in the corner right there like Romeo and Juliet behind the bushes telling us, hey, 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 just play it cool. Say this, say that. So you can be able to ensure because your enthusiasm goes ahead of you. And that's what I'm seeing now as I observe the Free National Movement. Michael Pintard is extremely enthusiastic and he wishes to maintain the momentum that mm-hmm. we saw in Aaron Bailey Park, that unity, that unification, that kind of conglomerate coming together. And then we saw a real energized Free National Movement, first time in years.
Well, there was a humility. Brave Davis also shows that type of humility in public, by the way. But there was a humility that came from Michael Pintard, and it was almost infectious. I watched you in an interview with him on Aaron Bailey Park. I sat next to you, and I didn't say anything, but I just listened. And for Michael Pintard to reach over the table and say, Garth, and shake my hand, I'm like, what the hell? The man is showing that he's a diplomat, that he's able to...
He's a statesman.
Yeah, he isn't going to hold anything against you when you could possibly assist him. And so I see
but
the
I told
FNM...
But the strategy was strong.
Idea of unstoppable change, the momentum...
Unstoppable
that,
together.
Yeah, they said unstoppable change is what they had out there.
Mm-hmm.
And the momentum that they're now building, if I were the Progressive Liberal Party, yeah, I would begin to be very, very wearsome as
to... But that is going to take a come-to-Jesus moment from leadership in the Progressive Liberal Party. And the only person who I believe is even vulnerable from that trifecta of leadership in the Progressive Liberal Party is Chester Cooper. And
explain.
Okay. For you to be able to come to Jesus in terms of your vulnerability and open up yourself and say that I need change, I need help, I need these particular things, you have to have at least a naive posture and position. You have to be oblivious as a child. That's the only way that we could come into savior, into this kind of a freedom and save the saved place.
Mm.
As a child, the only way that you can be able to open yourself and become humble as a child is if you are a child unto yourself.
Wow.
Chester Cooper, in that particular capacity, still, like we said, is still a youth from a political standpoint. So he's open and vulnerable enough to open himself and say, yeah, I think we need to be able to do some things different.
Wow.
However, Fred Mitchell. Brave Davis are crystallizing their position. They are the proverbial old dogs of politics. And I don't mean that condescendingly. I mean that they have become crystallized in their ways, set in their ways. And this is what they do.
Wow.
And so for them, the only person in that leadership forum that could say, hey, listen, maybe we should try something different, I believe, would be Chester.
I can agree with that.
I believe that would be Chester. Now, if the PLP doesn't identify the fact that the FNM has gained momentum, continue to, even right now, with Papa in the hospital.
Man,
that
stop,
there.
Stop.
Man, come on, I tell you the truth.
Answer that call.
That there.
Answer that call.
That there
you
has placed even more momentum
you misbehaving.
On the Free National
you
Movement.
You misbehaving. Take a call, man. You misbehaving. Take a call.
Because guess why?
Take a call.
All news is good news, you know.
Take a call. You,
even bad news is good
you
news.
You ain't being decent right now. Take a call.
Decent. Take a telephone call. Let me take a call. Call or go ahead. I ain't gonna fight you. Go ahead.
Thank you so much, God.
What's up, Jeff?
Thank you so much, God.
He's not behaving, Jeff. He gave me a two-week break, and he had just to misbehave in front of me. And I won't go fishing so bad. But go ahead.
Let me just put a couple things on the table here. You know, we always try to single out these leaders of the government and leaders of these political parties, right? But when you become government, even though you would have invested the lion's share of the power in the leader of or the prime minister of the country, still this thing called responsibility. So, therefore, what I'm saying is, the persons in cabinet fully just share the brunt of the blame for anything that the prime minister
was not. Jeff, you're breaking up.
Half of the government.
Jeff, you're breaking up. Open your window or stop the car or whatever. You're breaking up.
Okay, let me stop. Let me say this. You know, because we have to stand. If you know this carefully for politics, especially with the past PLP and FNM administration, whenever there's anything to be done for that party, who does the leader tell you to go to? Didn't they not say the go-to person is usually their deputy?
Barry Christie, who's Barry Christie's go-to person?
Who is their go-to person?
Shane Gibson.
No.
Barry Christie's go-to person was Shane Gibson.
Go-to person was celebrated Davis.
No.
Let me shoot straight with you and let's talk like this.
Every member of parliament in the Free National Movement and in the PLP, many of them, let's not say every member of parliament, but every member of parliament that I had an opportunity to sit with over the past few years when they were agitating for Philip Brave Davis, said that they could go to Brave Davis, not nobody send him. They said they could go to Brave Davis and get anything. If he could help them, he helped them. And that was an independent position because Brave knew what his aspirations were. He was never, not from what I understand, he was never the prime minister, former prime minister, Perry Christie's guy.
Gentlemen.
Now, the information that I received, even when we saw Shane Gibson get on this kind of a position where he was pushing back and there was some social debacle and so forth and so on, the PLP had a convention. Shane Gibson was the head of that.
So you got your share and I got my share. And the information I know that I received was that anything that needed to be done in the Christie administration, it was always alleged that the go-to person was Brave Davis because he knew how to get things done. He knew
Brave Davis was getting things done before he was in the capacity of deputy. Yeah. That's how we get there.
And Shane also did a share. Correct. You're both
correct. Let me just cut my conversation short so I can come off the line. Uh-huh. The bottom line here is collective responsibility is something that we must administer across the board because they said when you're in cabinet, it's a collective responsibility for every decision that is made from the cabinet aspect. But I'll tell you this much. You know, I still long to see that any person's coming to governance over the Bahamian people, even while in opposition. And this is what we are here looking for. This is why it's so important when we start talking about, you know, maybe we need to move to the aspect of these leaders now coming to debate as they do in the United States, that we can hear plans for this country.
They got to know the issues, Jeff. They don't know the issues.
But now you hitting on what I'm talking about.
They don't know the
issues. If you don't know the issues, but then yet you want to lead the country, then why should we elect you to lead the country? This is exactly what I'm talking about. And, you know, these excuses, they need to go out the window because basically what it is, we have a country that's 50 years old. And if you look at the way this country is running today, in comparison to what the perception was back some 50 years ago, I'm going to tell you, we've drifted so far off course, I don't know how we can even get back on course.
Wow.
I'll end my stuff here.
Thank you, man, Jeff. It's very good to hear from you. I hope that you and your family are doing well as you know, we just talked about the fact that you lost your mother most recently.
Wow.
We continue to be able to pray for you and your family. It's great to hear from you. All right, guys, we're going to take this quick commercial break and be right back after this.
foundation. The foundation.
Stay informed with the Nassau Guardian, your news delivered. Are you tired of chasing down the latest news? Why not have it delivered right to your doorstep? The Nassau Guardian is now offering an unbeatable home delivery service. Special subscription rates. 3 months, just $44.80. 6 months, only $79.52. 1 year, an amazing value at $143.36. Your daily news fix all year round. Don't miss out on this opportunity to keep up with the latest in local and international news, sports, business, and entertainment. Subscribe today. Call us at 302-2360 or 302-2353. Our friendly staff is waiting to assist you with your subscription. The Nassau Guardian. We've got the news you need. Don't wait. Call now and let us bring the world to your door.
Ladies and gentlemen, King Don National Parkinson Foundation presents its 24th Charity Gala, Saturday, June 29, 2024, at the Grand Ballroom Grand Hyatt Bahama Convention Center. And here to set the mood right and the night tight is none other than international artist Johnny Gill. Also the Defense Force Band and the Rhythm Band. You can purchase your tickets at Carey's Fabric on Mackey Street or Signature Stars Marathon Road. Cocktails at 6:45 p.m. and dinner at 7:45 p.m. And then you can have your fill of Johnny Gill.
One thing is true. God has blessed me.
Let's get the
Marco's is bringing you a pizza experience like never before. Introducing our new Pizzoli baked with house-made dough. Stuffed with three fresh cheeses and premium toppings. Sliced with irresistible garlic sauce and Romeshan seasoning for only $8.95. Choose from four incredible toppings. Buffalo chicken, pepperoni, chicken bacon ranch, and pepperoni and sausage. Order now at marcospizzabahamas.com. Every store, every day. Because this is not just pizza, it's the Italian way.
Bonneville Bones, established in 1970, is the leader in men's fashion in the Bahamas. We're conveniently located in the Mall at Marathon and the Harbor Bay Shopping Plaza, and fully stocked with everything you need for all occasions. Our Harbor Bay location is one door north of Alive, with the black and white signage of Bonneville Boutique. Both locations are open from 10 to 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Bonneville Bones and Bonneville Boutique, still the leader in men's fashion. Located in the Mall at Marathon and the Harbor Bay Shopping Plaza.
Doctors Hospital has reimagined primary care. We have invested to improve our health system, ensuring that accessible, affordable, world-class clinical care is closer to you. We understand that your relationship with a primary care provider shapes the foundation of your overall health. Our new modern primary care facilities are where critical diagnoses and true personalized treatment begins. With locations across New Providence, Grand Bahama, and Exuma, we invite you to experience the Doctors Hospital difference. Book your next appointment at clinics.doctorshosp.com.
Foundation. And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio. Howard Grant and your company. Give me a call, 323-622-325-4316-325-4259, anywhere from the family of islands, 242-300-5720, or hit me up, 422-4796. We're here live in full effect. I can see all of these things here. And some people calling me, cussing me out, ask me if I drink the F&M Kool-Aid. After one convention, you believe that the F&M got that kind of momentum. How are you on drugs? Eh? Must be 60%. Are you crazy? All these cussing and things like that. Don't fight me. Just call me. Call me and let me know. Call me now, babies.
And the phones are
like
lit
Ms. Cleo,
up.
Like Miss Cleo, like Miss Cleo.
The phone's lit up.
Call me now, babies. Let me see if we can take the call. Yeah. Call on the line. Go ahead. Call on the line with us live. Go ahead.
minutes.
No, next call. All right, guys, let me see if I can read a couple of these texts before we can be able to get out of here and talk about this. This is good day. It's easier to invest in things than people. We elect persons who prefer to invest in the slave tourism model rather than the people of the nation. And the reason why people do that, that's the text that's coming through, the reason why the people do that is because of a fear of what people say. Even Moses had that fear, the fear of what people are going to say. That's why we hear from a biblical standpoint, don't watch their face. Don't watch their faces. Don't look at them. Stay steadfast and focus on the job at hand. Focus on your mission. The issue is you was going there not on a mission. Even thieves, the most successful thieves, has a mission. If we go on there on a bank heist, we didn't watch the movies, you get 30 seconds to get in and get out. Even Jesus Christ, we knew him. When Mary tell him, calm down, Jesus, it ain't your time yet. We saw him pop up at 30, turn water into wine, and 3 years later, he was done. He didn't even spend the 5 years, my God. Huh?
Well, let me, you're talking about mission, Howard. Let me ask you this then. Can I ask you this?
Go ahead.
The PLP has an opportunity to bring forth a strong legacy, something innovative, something new. They formed under their government the Ministry of Natural Resources, yes?
Mm-hmm.
So where's the report from that? What's going on with that? I thought this was supposed to be a cure-all for the Bahamian people, an investment opportunity for the Bahamian people, a return on an investment for the Bahamian people. So what has this Ministry of Natural Resources accomplished? And I think Vaughn Miller is the minister responsible for this. He was strong when he was in opposition, went over to the Progressive Liberal Party, and now we're awaiting to hear great news from this very ministry, the Ministry of Natural Resources. What's going on?
That's all. Well, I know that we are looking at, I've seen some reports indicating that the Caribbean produces over $2.2 billion in sea moss.
Sea moss.
Yeah, and seagrass, sea moss, on an annual basis. And this is sort of the dependency that the world has on it, $2.2 billion. This is a billion-dollar industry. And it started to talk about how a significant portion of that exists within the Bahamas.
Yes.
This is the information that we have. But this is international news that we read.
International.
This is from an international perspective.
They don't want to tell us this nationally.
Locally, there's no conversations happening about this. Closest we got locally is that to import sea moss is going to be free. That's the closest that we've got.
But we have it here?
To import it, it's going to be free now.
But we have it.
But we have it here. And we produce it here. And we have all these particular aspects, but we're not hearing how do we merge this kind of a concept of the theory and find it transitioning to the practical?
I like that, Howard.
How do we do it?
You know what, Howard?
How can I find out more information about my country when I read international news than people who can articulate it locally?
Howard, I love it.
They ain't doing it.
You know what came to my mind while I was off? You know, I was doing a little beekeeping and all my little stuff I like to do, right? Howard, when are we going to learn to respect the scientists of the Bahamas? That's just a scientist, a scientific mind in the Bahamas. Because I don't think we can progress as a nation until we have that utmost respect with those people who understands the world scientifically. The chemists, the biologists, the physicists. We have people here who are expert in robotics. All these people here teaching in high schools, teaching history and geography and social studies, you know. But we have these people right here. And we have not developed a ministry of science. Listen to what I just said to you. A ministry of science. And I thought when I was a consultant at BAIC, sitting down doing nothing, right? Why don't we just have a lab here where we could take natural medicine and put them into capsules?
University of the Bahamas has a lab.
What I'm saying, we could put it in capsules and we could sell them to tourists. You know, when I go to the Dominican Republic, right, they got this little drink they got over there and little capsules over there. You take if you want, little straight. You know what I mean? Why don't we have those here? You know, we have so much opportunity.
Ian is still like every people. Thursday, Ian come with me, he's selling strength.
Yeah, but I'm saying the government needs to get involved in the strengthening, because we got a lot of weak back men out there, but I can leave that alone. We can be decent.
You get
today.
Deep in it, but these things
but
are
tourists
available.
Come in to do these things.
No, but these things are available, and you're talking about science tourism, you're talking about this health tourism, you're talking about those things, you're talking about, and that's really why health and wellness was created, not just for a new name. And I think that that's the confusion that we're seeing in this administration. They're providing new names, new faces, but giving us, in terms of substance, old information.
Yeah.
they're giving us new names, right? New faces, but old information.
You can't want to do marijuana sales or what they call the legalization of weed or whatever, and you don't talk about the Ministry of Science. You need a Ministry of Science.
Yeah, but that conversation has not come to the forefront as yet.
Why?
There has been, you know why?
Why?
Because there's more concern of who's going to benefit from this. Who do we empower? Do we ensure, and I've had this conversation more than once.
Yes.
Who do we ensure that sees the dividends from licensees? Who can ensure? How do we know where this money can go? Who's on these boards? And that's where, in my humble opinion, in my personal view, that's really where the stagnation exists. Not advocation for this, but really the only reason why it doesn't move forward is because we haven't identified the players. It took them this long to figure out how are we going to structure LNG, who's going to be at the strategic players, where's the affiliations, where's the relationships, how can we be able to ensure that we have these things and being able to funnel things through this company, through this entity, through these individuals. Mm. It took them that long to do that. It took them, that's what this is all about. That's what this is about.
Yeah.
It took them that long to identify who is going to ensure that we can retain, that the flow comes to this entity and we can retain this. That is not necessarily political, but we can retain this, right? When we identified right after the pandemic, when everybody was opening apps and developing these concepts and the government of the Bahamas came out and say, hold on, wait. Let's slow down. We can get back to normalcy. And everything took time. And instead of doing an app, people tell you, well, what we can do is curbside service. Hold on, sir. What are you talking about? Why don't we just empower the people with apps? Everybody got two telephones.
Yes.
This is statistic.
Yes.
This statistical information indicates that we have more phones in this country than people that live here.
That's correct.
Statistical information. So it is safe to say that on an average, people got two telephones.
That's correct.
Okay. So if people got two telephones, why you still have to push back from the development of apps?
I got two right here.
I got two right here. I got three. You understand what I'm saying?
You're a big guy.
I am simply saying to you, the reason why we don't see this forward movement and progression and technology and identifying those things is because the old fellas got to say, hold on now, wait. Who can be here? Do your son know anything but this here? Your grandson know this? Let's get them here. And you got to formalize that before there is a proper introduction to the country.
When do Bahamian people say enough of this crap? Because I mean,
it ain't never be enough.
The same people keep getting the same benefits and the same opportunities.
The same doctors and nurses and all those persons that you talk about from science perspective are just like Dr. Fauci, right? Dr. Fauci in the United States of America came out and swear God down off the cross that these things were good, that they were tested. 2.5 days they tested the things that they can put in our bodies. 2.5 days. They said, he's good. We put it in the mouse, the mouse in there. And Dr. Fauci said, this is it. The former president of the United States of America said, well, why can't we get a ray of light and just kind of beam it into your body and just kill everybody? Everybody looked at him like, what the hell is he talking about?
Yeah.
Which was a better idea. Than what they gave us.
Or drink bleach.
And he said, drink bleach. Which was a better idea. And what they gave us now, years later, to be able to retract that. Years later to identify that persons have died and persons have moved back. And then to be able to question Dr. Fauci and say almost the same thing that we hear locally. What would you want me to do? Lose my job? Y'all need to stop it. And because there's no conviction, because there's no strength, there's no commitment to this concept that exists here, the constitution of your position to this position that you've taken in terms of your oath to your position.
Yeah.
Because there's no commitment to that. You will do anything to retain your position.
Mm.
And that's the problem that we have. That's the problem that we have locally. That's the problem that we have regionally. That's the problem that we have internationally. People want to be seen to do a job, but they don't want to actually do the job. That's a problem. Telephone call. Telephone call, go ahead.
Good afternoon, Ms. Grant. Good afternoon to your guest.
Good afternoon. How you doing?
All right, here, my dear, and yourself?
I'm good.
That's good. But tell me something. You know, should it be like this? Should people offer themselves for public, you know, service when they know that they are not going to go against what the persons in charge say? I mean, and you know, despite that has been hurt to people, it is not right. If you cannot do what is right by the people, then you should not take public office, because it is so wrong to do this, you know?
You fight against a couple of things.
In this country, we have no discipline. You know, you mentioned about a mom. You watch the Mr. Skipping on the TV and the things that you did. But she's talking to deaf people because you have laws and you're not carrying them out. Do you know you can count? And I mean literally count on your one hand the amount of traffic things, you know, where you put the numbers and say how many miles per hour, the sign that say how many miles per hour you can go on the street. You can count them on your one hand in this country. There's none nowhere. And so what people do, they do whatever they feel like. They go up the middle lane. We now on Carmichael Road have a new lane.
Trillion.
We have a middle lane of traffic. And you know what happens?
Yeah.
The police are never around. There's no CCTVs all over the place. And people, if they were around some of these traffic lights and traffic in some of these areas where they know a lot of congestion and what the people do, they would book these people would be charged sums of money, and they would stop doing it. But because there are no consequences for the people's actions in this country, nothing happens.
Wow.
They go and they park in the disabled spot. Nothing happens. Nobody boots them. They don't get booted. The car don't get towed away. If the car was towed away and they had to pay every time they park there, trust me, they would stop on other people who hearing it. There was no, and you charge them, and you let everybody know they were charging the cost today for parking in the disabled spot. Charges up. No, they don't even have signs up saying you'll be charged X amount of dollars. Even the ones who put up with it, you'll be booted. If they even charge them, there's a record, they got to pay the record to bring the car back. They would stop doing it, but because there are no consequences in this country for our actions,
no enforcement.
We do everything that we want to do.
Wow.
And that goes for all. Says they run the traffic light.
Wow.
I tell you, you better not pull off when the lights are in green because you're going to get killed. But 3-4 cars run the light. Come on. What are we going to this country? This country, when we talk, is progressing. How can we progress when we can't even put consequences in place for simple laws?
Simple laws.
We can't even put a traffic sign.
Simple laws.
How many miles an hour you could go?
That's something.
That means nothing is in this country. Nothing, no size, nowhere, no place.
Wow. You know? I appreciate your telephone call. I really do. Thank you so very kindly for that.
Great observation.
That's a good observation. I like what she's saying, but she started off in a particular way that I want to take 2 minutes to talk about.
Mm.
All right? She started off and talk about the fact that you're giving these men and women an opportunity to be able to get in there. How come they don't remain committed? How come if you're not going to serve the people of the community, if you're not going to stand up for the people of the community, why would you take on this public office? Because they like to be seen. That's the first thing. You won't be seen.
Important. One
you
important.
Want to be elevated in a particular position. You will make your mommy proud and your families to be able to say, my cousin, my brother, my auntie, is it this, is it that, is another thing.
That's
and
right.
The second thing is that you're only making $28,000 a year. But the governor of the Bahamas has offered you an opportunity to become the chairman of another organization, which is $60,000 a year. Mm-hmm. So this $88,000 a year, and you have to now walk on eggshells and ensure that you don't offend anyone so you can retain this position.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you don't have no spine. That's why you ain't got no guts to say nothing, because you ain't sure what could cost you lose your job. But mm-hmm. if you was assured as a member of parliament that you could make $75,000 a year, you would cuss everybody out.
Well, did we have any
you
examples?
Are financially set.
Do you have any examples recently?
I will cuss everybody out.
So when those gentlemen crossed the floor, we had Frederick McElpine. We had Travis
Frederick
Robinson.
Crosswood Four.
Vaughn Miller. I'm not across the floor. When they actually stepped down, was it, and became independent in the House Assembly?
Fred didn't do that. Fred didn't step down. He just started cussing as a member, as a FNM member.
So
of
just
Parliament.
Vaughn Miller. Travis Vaughn went Miller. Back, and then had Reese Chipman.
Yeah. After they stood up to be able to speak out against the tax.
So this is an example now of having a spine that you spoke about.
Listen. $28,000, even for a novice member of parliament, brand new, 12.5 pounds when he came in, Travis Robinson was not enough for him to be able to survive as a member of parliament. And he knew that. And based upon the senior men and women that came around him, they say, you got a long way to go. And I even encouraged him. You got a long way to go. You have to know how to play this game. Old people tell you sometimes you got to give some and you got to take some. But if they pay you a salary that you're content with, that your family can live off of, a $75,000 as a member of parliament annually, outside of what they're paying you for your constituency, you ain't got to shave nothing from that. You get $75,000 in this particular capacity, then you could stand up and you could see the strength of a backbench. Then you could stand up and you could be able, then you would be able to identify good, decent people trying to become members of parliament. Then you could see a blossoming political organization, both PLP and FNM, and the brightest of minds seeking to get in, because even if I don't become a minister or a cabinet minister or become a head of it, I still get $75,000. And that's worth fighting for, because my wife never been nowhere like this. My God, I better work good. So take that $2.5 million that you wanted to be able to do for the aircraft, the airplane, and put that into members of parliament salary. And watch the change. Mm-hmm. You know, nobody can advocate for 20. Listen, if I only making 28 and you give me an additional 60, I better shut up.
That's what happens.
That's what's going to happen. But if I'm making 75, no matter what you're giving me, I'm still content with the 75. We're doing well with that.
So you're saying now raise the salary of members of parliament to 75,000?
Raise the salary and watch convictions take the same elevation. Raise the salaries of members of parliament.
Irrespective if they have a cabinet position.
It don't matter. Raise the base salary. That means you could reduce the salary of cabinet ministers.
That's what I'm saying.
Reduce the salary of cabinet ministers.
Give them extra 15,000.
So instead of the 60,000, all you got to do is give them 30.
Uh-huh.
Instead of the 66,000, give them 33.
Or give them 28,000 for being in cabinet.
That's it?
Yeah, and that's it.
And so, okay, so that's not really appealing. I still get my base, which is 75.
75. So now you can tell them what to do.
So even when you're in cabinet, you still have the backbone.
Yeah.
Because no, you're not beholden to this kind of a big check.
Oh boy, Howard, you're causing trouble now.
That's what you do.
You cause it, but they ain't gonna never do that.
Money is the equalizer, but money is also the motivation for evil. You got to figure out how to use your money to get to the objective.
Are the Bahamian people ready for you to increase the salary to 75,000?
They better be ready. You want the people to keep thieving from you? You want members of parliament to come out whilst they're increasing everything across the board? Antibiotics still expensive, but you could get CMOS. That's what you want? That's what you want?
My God.
Is that what you want? There's nothing in this budget that actually speaks to poor people. Nothing. There are concepts and ideas that exist in this particular space to ensure that people could live, and you have a vision for the PLP to say that we've done well in the future, but nothing for poor people to live now. But ain't nobody saying nothing but that.
Well, Howard Grant, thank
you. You're content with that.
Thank you for inviting me today on the foundation. It's been a great show, great conversation. You're doing a big work. Just the thought of 75,000 starting salary, that sounds good. That's a new idea. And maybe people, something we need to embrace. Thank you once again, and have a great day.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you so very kindly. Tomorrow is Small Business Thursday. If you want to be a part of that, I have one 15-minute slot available if you want to do that. 8270111, 8270111. Somebody call me, text me, and say, Howard, you are wrong. Okay, I'm fighting you. I could be wrong.
Wrong on what?
I could be wrong. These politicians are greedy. They can never have enough money. That's why they're always in talks of conflict of interest. They're greedy because they have enough to survive. They're greedy because every time they go to the constituency, they got to take their wife money and their little piece of salary to try to slide in somebody's pocket, hoping to retain this job, but only paying $28,000 a month.
That ain't no money.
They're greedy because they got to wear a JCPenney suit and a Macy's necktie to survive. You got to stop it. Let's have a good conversation, guys. I'm going to see you tomorrow, 8270111. This is The Foundation, Howard Grant, 96.9 FM radio. See you tomorrow. Godspeed.
Foundation. The Foundation.